Call the House Finance Committee to order. For the record, we have Representative Stoltz, Hocker, Co-Chair Harris, and Representative Jewell and myself here. The time is 1:45 on February the 12th, Lincoln's birthday. We're going to hear House Bill 9 first, and it's not my intention to move this bill today. We will come up with a CS at our next meeting. We're going to make some changes. Technical changes won't be change the substance of the bill. And that, I think, will be done on Thursday under bills previously heard. Representative Stevens is present also. Representative Roper.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Before you have House Bill 9, which is a act relating to the regulation of home inspectors, Mr. Chairman, very briefly, in the whole train of transactions that take place in a residential real estate transaction, all the parties to that transaction are regulated by some form of government oversight, all with the exception of home inspectors in this state. Mr. Chairman, anybody without any training can put themselves out to the public as a home inspector. So what this is, Mr. Chairman, is you recall of the long and arduous journey this bill has had. Mr. Chairman, for the record, this is the 23rd formal public hearing this bill has had in 5 years. But the last time it was in this committee, we made a change when going from their own board to putting the licensure under the special contractor license, lowering the fiscal note substantially and the cost to the home inspectors and as a result to the public. Mr. Chairman, this is a consumer protection bill. One issue has raised some controversy. That's the repeal of immunity by new home inspectors known as ICBO inspectors that do predominantly rural area or inspection new homes in areas that are not regulated. That's the one issue that's caused substantial controversy. Mr. Chairman, it's my opinion that this balances, gives some protection to the home inspectors, but gives more protection to the public. And with that, Mr. Chairman, because this bill has been kicked around so much by the legislature, I won't take up any more of your time, and I ask if the committee has any questions on that issue.
Are there any, for the record, Representative Croft is present also. Are there any questions for the sponsor at this time?
Chairman.
Representative Harris.
Representative Robert, I'm sure you've heard this from Ms. Owens' inspection, and maybe online, I don't know. But do you have a response to the issue that he's talking about here, that this doesn't cover all inspectors, it just covers, he's saying the existing and new home inspectors, not all inspectors? Have you heard those? I assume you have, and it's been, as you said, it's been through the mail a few times. What's your response to that?
Representative Harris, through the chair, my response to that is this. This bill regulates those people who put themselves out as residential home inspectors. In the bill, I think it's the 160 section, there are the exemptions. This exempts a number of people that currently have professional licenses or do other things that could be construed as a inspection, most particularly the inspection of a component part of the house. I think it's important if one wants to look at the definition of a home inspector here and what that means, that narrows down what we're really regulating. It's not the intention of this bill to regulate this litany of other people that Mr. Owens brought to the committee's attention. The intention here is only to require regulation of those individuals who charge the public money and put themselves out to be home inspectors. I think that they are the ones that deserve the regulation. It's not intended to throw a broad net here and regulate people that don't need to be regulated or are regulated elsewhere in statute. For example, Mr. Chairman, I might, and Representative Harris, there's been a controversy about whether an engineer somebody that has a civil engineering degree, for example, needs to be licensed as a home inspector? Well, the answer is yes and no. Mr. Chairman, is if the engineer is doing work in the scope of his profession, for example, inspecting a foundation or a roof component by penetrating that and looking at it deeply, he's performing the duties of an engineer. That's not home inspection per se. But if he advertises to the public that he is a residential home inspector, then he has to have not only his engineering credentials, but he has to have a home inspection license, and he's advertising to the public, putting himself forward as a home inspector, notwithstanding the fact that he's already licensed as an engineer. And the reason for that, Mr. Chairman, is just because you have a civil engineering degree doesn't give you the experience necessary to inspect a home. Mm-hmm. So I hope that answers your question.
What about, Mr. Chairman, what about the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation? Are they supporting this bill this year?
Yes, they are. Matter of fact, they're instrumental in supporting it, and they may be even available to testify if you wish.
The old testifier is back there, but I don't see the new one.
New testifier is online, I think, just for questions, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you.
For the record, we have also Representative Meyer present. Are there any more questions for the sponsor, Representative Croft?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Representative Rookberg, I'm interested in the effect of Section 17, which is primarily on page 10. The statute of repose for home inspectors, page 10, line 7. Mr. Chairman, we're working off 2103, LSO 29, Lauterbach. I had a prior version before, but is that what we should be, Heather? Or?
It's H version. H?
I have I. Should we
what
be working off
it?
H?
It's the judiciary. H. Although that language wasn't changed anymore.
I think you've got the work draft that we're not doing.
I is a finance, it looks like, CS.
Oh, no, that's the CS we have not adopted.
Not adopted.
We're working off judiciary version?
Yeah. There's a technical error, and if we're going to come back, we're going to come back to the committee, Mr. Through the Chair, with Representative Croft. The chairman is not going to be moving the bill today, so there's an error in the CS, so we're going to bring another CS to you later on.
Okay. Well, the section there, section 17, has been changed, but the rest looks the same. The statute of repose is the same between the two versions, this two-year and one-year statute of repose.
That's correct.
Yeah. Let me ask you about that, if I can, Mr. Chairman, Representative Rookberg. 1 year after the date of the home inspection report, so if I hire a home inspector and they miss the plumbing or some other latent defect that I don't have the ability to tell, the very reason I hired the home inspector, a year and a day after that, I discover it, what's my recourse against the home inspector?
Through the chair, Representative Cross, I think you would be barred by the limitation of the statute.
And if the home inspector...
That is, if it's an existing home. If it's a new home, it's 2 years.
New home is 2 years. For simplicity, concentrating on the existing home one, if the allegation was that they actually knew about it and for some fraudulent or other reason, bribed, who knows... So it wasn't just negligence, but actual knowledge of a defect that they did not include for their financial gain, and it's 1 year and a day. Any recourse against the home inspector?
A strict construction would lead me to believe that they wouldn't, but I would also posit, Mr. Chairman, Representative Croft, if there was egregious intentional misconduct, I believe the courts might find it. But I'm not an attorney, and I couldn't really answer that. I'd actually defer to your judgment.
Well, I appreciate it, but Mr. Chairman, don't defer to mine. I read the language in the Part B. The limitations of this section apply to all actions based on a home inspection report, regardless of whether the action is based on contract, personal injury, death, property damage, or any other source of liability. That does seem pretty iron boilerplate.
Mr. Chairman, if I might, I think it might be appropriate if I were to explain to the committee and Representative Croft the rationale behind this.
Well, I'm just trying to figure out the effect of it, but go ahead if you'd like.
Number one, Mr. Chairman, in this bill, it does provide that, number one, the report itself of the inspection has only got validity for 6 months. And there's been testimony before the committee on many occasions on this bill that perhaps the report should only be good for 1 day. Mr. Chairman, that's because we live in Alaska. Any dwelling house in a residential area in the northern latitudes of this continent are subject to the vagaries of the climate, natural disaster, and about every other calamity that, having lived here for half a century, I've certainly experienced. The idea being that what you would do an inspection 1 day, and if there's a severe rain, snowstorm, or earthquake or something, the next day, the actual condition of the home could change. So I think it's prudent that we limit the time of exposure for the report itself. Additionally, Mr. Chairman, in trying to balance the public good with the commerce that's being created here, I felt it was important, because of the same type of theory, to limit this liability to a reasonable period, whereas the new home inspectors that were working under the auspices of Alaska Housing had statutory immunity, which is in Section 40 of the bill. We've removed that. We're trying to give those people that could be aggrieved or would be damaged by a faulty report a easier way to which they can file a cause of action and bring a cause of action towards that inspector who would aggrieve them. But in doing so, I felt it was necessary to limit this time of period at which you typically in a contract would have a 3-year period, which you could by contract under the statutes limit any liability. Albeit there's another issue about the statute repose and sort of other things there that could be longer, the issue of discovery, et cetera. I don't really want to get into that now. Something was discussed in length in the judicial committee. But I think it's a policy call here, balancing the public protections, which I think are innumerably and substantially increased by this bill, with some modicum of protection to the practitioners here, and therefore to limit that time in which you can bring a cause of action. Quite frankly, what a home inspection is predominantly a relatively cursory visual inspection of the home. It's not the penetration and analysis of a roof or a foundation or some other technical component part. The concept of a home, that would be basically a greater, you need the expertise and or an engineer to be able to do those types of analysis or have the proper expertise, at which time to make a proper analysis, you actually have to penetrate the component part to make an estimate of its of the feasibility or the strength or relative merit of that particular component. A home inspection is typically a $300 to $350 inspection by an experienced person, presumably, and under this bill they will be competent, to make a visual inspection. So if something crops up that wasn't relatively obvious to a casual observer, that knew what they were doing, it shouldn't be some hidden component that would pop up later, because that's not the nature of a home inspection. That's an engineering thing. That's a whole different topic. That's the problem. So that's I could go on, but I won't.
For the record, Representative Whitaker came in a while ago. Are there any more questions? Representative Stoltz?
Mr. Chairman, excuse me for not perhaps reading this as thoroughly. I may have picked it up, but does this cover external elements of the home, i.e. a septic system, things we've heard a lot about in the valley particularly, that part of the home inspection?
Mr. Chairman, I would say that if the particular home inspector would want to warrant that and had the expertise to test something, it may well. But there again, that's why the home pre-inspection report here assumes a contract and is going to be required by this bill that the scope of work be put in writing so there's a clear understanding of people's expectations. I would say that the average home inspector probably wouldn't be able to do a septic analysis, but I'm sure there's exceptions to that rule. This statute's not intended to impede commerce. You know, let's get the best qualified guy for the best price here. You know, but that's part of this balance here. I think that Representative Croft and some of his colleagues that take a more legal mindset to this can make some arguments that are traditionally recognized by the courts. There's time periods that have been tested by case law that seem like they're reasonable public policy. But what we have, Mr. Chairman, here is a situation where we're endeavoring to limit that liability for a public purpose. If we take away the immunity on one hand over here that they presently enjoy and don't give them a little bit of protection over here on the other hand, we're going to start impacting the commerce and the cost of each one of those reports. This state, for example, I mean, she says, well, why don't we mandate E&O insurance? Well, Mr. Chairman, we don't mandate E&O insurance in any licensure category and chapter in the state because of the vagaries of the insurance market up here. There's many times in the past 2 decades when E&O insurance hasn't even been available. And that's a big problem right now. And we go through these cycles in insurance underwriting health, and we're at one of those negative times now. So some of these issues may not even be insurable. But in this instance, if you're a home buyer, you do have an insurable interest in that, and you can actually insure against it.
Representative Croft, if we can make this, we're not going to move this today. We will be hearing it again on Thursday, bring it back up on Thursday. Maybe between now and then some of the questions can be worked out with the sponsor. Representative Croft.
Well, I'll do it whenever you like, Mr. Chairman. Sometimes when we have the sponsor here, like these policy questions floated out, if he's going to be back.
Pardon?
If he's going to be back on Thursday, that's fine. Sometimes the sponsors are busy, and this is their initial introduction and the time for questions. If you've got a scheduling with some of the other overviews, I'd be glad to wait. Otherwise, I think it's the crux of the bill.
What I'd like to see, if you have a question and we can't get it answered today, that we're not going to sit there and debate the question, but if you could meet with the sponsor at your time, when you can make time with him, that would be good. Do you have another question?
Yeah, and I do think some of these, Mr. Chairman, are things that the committee might be interested in on deciding what they want to do on this bill.
We're not attorneys here on the committee. We're going to deal with financial issues. It did go through judiciary.
As Representative Roepberg said, Mr. Chairman, it's not so much legal issues as public policy. We're immunizing a great section of society that affects all of us. The question I did have, you talked about AHFC home inspectors being immunized in a statute before, but surely not all home inspectors were immunized before. What percentage of the market what did they represent? It wasn't a broad immunity for all home inspections.
Chairman, what was the common practice here that home inspectors on existing homes would almost exclusively write clauses into the contracts endeavoring to limit their liability to the amount of the home inspection, that is to say approximately $300 or $350. Now, as an attorney, you probably know that that's not going to be enforceable by the courts. But as a matter of fact, most people don't know that. So most people usually live up to the terms of the contract they signed without calling up an attorney. So we have provided for a, matter of fact, right in that section, subsection D, the contractual provisions that purport to limit the liability of a home inspector to the cost of the home inspection report are contrary to public policy and void. So you can't do that. So this is another consumer protection. That's what the current practice is now. So we have outlawed that practice, and I think that there is right now some home inspectors do carry E&O insurance if they're big enough and can afford that. That's a good thing, you know, if it's generally available. But there has been causes of action brought where the home inspectors have had found liability. And there's nothing in this bill that purports to limit that liability other than the time frames in which these causes of action can be brought forth. And as I've said, the reason for it is the scope of work that's contemplated under this bill. It's something that shouldn't crop up later. I mean, that's the issue here. That's kind of the crux of it. Should these traditional legal rules come into play, like having the toll, the starting time of a statutory limitation, toll only when the aggrieved party becomes aware of it, and which is not uncommon in a lot of rulings and even in statute. But, Mr. Chairman, the fact patterns and what this is intended to cure here doesn't contemplate something cropping up later. The only thing that the representative brings up is something that there's an intentional omission, where there was an act, and that might be probably actionable under a FOB theory anyway.
I'm getting the indication from the chairman he wants to wrap this up. I don't think it's actionable even on those egregious facts with as broadly as you've written B. I don't think you could get there.
Well, we'll look into that, Mr. Chairman, to make sure that we can give some relative comfort to a good representative. But I do know that there are some members that may take exception to this, so it is a policy call.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Representative Meyer, did you have a question?
Mr. Chairman, I did, but I found the answer, so I'll pass. Thank you.
Any other questions?
Mr. Chairman, just real briefly.
Pardon?
Just real briefly, one question. Representative Roper, the only fiscal note involved here, and I think that's what we are really here for more than the technical parts of the bill, but we'll deal with those as well. It seems to me like the only fiscal note that you have here deals with AUC licensing and charging newly authorized home inspectors, licensed home inspectors, pay a fee to AUC licensing for their continuing education and other purposes like that, and that seems to be a wash, and so that's the only fee that we have to worry about from the state's perspective. Is that correct?
Through the chair, Representative Harris, that is correct. The legislature, in its wisdom, as by statute, provide that all occupational licenses be totally self-supporting. So all these costs that are incurred and displayed on the fiscal note are basically program receipts that will be collected by the licensees. And so they are self-supporting and don't cause a problem to our state's fiscal difficulties. So fundamentally, they're in the other column. Thanks to House Bill 418.
Thank you. That's all I have.
Any other questions for the sponsor?
Not from the sponsor, Mr. Chairman. Just in terms of process. When you're talking about Thursday, is that going to be tomorrow or a week from now, Thursday?
A week from Thursday.
Okay, a week from Thursday. And we'll have once we get the CS, you'll have a public commentary at that time, or are you going to have that at this time?
We'll go through this. We're going to go through the public process right now, the public testimony, and at that time, after today, we'll close the public testimony. And the CS that we're bringing forward is not going to have any substantial changes to the bill. It's technical changes. That's why, otherwise, we would have taken it up today.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Are there any other questions? If not, thank you, Mr. Representative Roper. We'll go on to public testimony. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 online, and that's where I'll start, is online. Start Matt Sue with Bill Rue.
Chairman, members of the Finance Committee, thank you very much for the opportunity to take and testify today. I have testified many times previously to the attributes of this bill. today I would like to talk specifically about two things. Number one, fiscal note that I have before me, which is fiscal note number four on bill version, committee substitute HB 9 out of legislative and labor and commerce committee. I'm sorry. It indicates that the change in revenues or the actual cost to the inspectors is going to be in the tune of $126,200 for the first biennial period. I want to make sure that the Finance Committee understands that that's going to be based on approximately 100 inspectors statewide. So we're talking about a cost for the first two-year period of approximately $1,260 for licensing fees alone. That has nothing to do with recurring education costs or travel costs for anybody at the state to take and enforce this this licensing provisions. I think that that school move needs to be recalculated, putting in some of those costs so that the committee and the legislature will understand what the cost to the individual inspector and eventually the cost to the consumer is going to be. The second thing was that Representative Croft had a question for Representative Roper, depending on the percentage, or the question was, what is the percentage of Alaska housing inspectors that that are involved in this process? And this legislation, through sections 33 and 34, affect every one of the Alaska housing inspectors. It also, what it does, in my opinion, having reviewed it, is it reduces the consumer protection as provided by 1856-300 at the current time. It substitutes a nationally certified inspector, ICBO, new home inspector, with an inspector who is certified by the state of Alaska to a, at this point, a non-known set of standards. I'm willing to ask or answer any questions that the committee has. Thank you.
What's your background? Who do you work for, Bill?
My name is Bill Brew. I own my own inspection firm. I've been doing inspections, either whole house or new construction inspections, for approximately 15 years here in the Valley.
Representative Rockberg has a
report of clarification, Mr. Chairman.
Yes.
Mr. Chairman, Mr. Brew is correct in terms of the $126,000, but in this committee and under the leadership of the co-chairman yourself, Mr. Chairman, we changed the licensure to that as a subcategory of specialty contractors. Instead of having their own home inspection board, which was contemplated previously and looked at about $1,500 per biennial, which we thought was so high that would impact inspection fees. So we lowered it. We put these folks underneath that, and instead of the $1,200, it's $246 per biennial. Because there's 2,700 folks that will be affected by this license, all specialty contractors.
Are there any questions for Bill Brew? Thank you, Mr. Brew. Next we'll go to Kenai, LIO Robert Springer.
Yes, this is Robert Springer. I live in Kenai here. I own RS Inspection Services. I am a home inspector. I do inspections for HSC housing for their financing. Basically, I am in favor of the competency requirements that you're looking at, but I am only in favor of it via examination provided by a third party, not state of Alaska personnel. In other words, basically to show proof of current certification. Secondly, I'm not really in favor of the additional bonding and insurance requirements because essentially that's going to raise the cost to the consumer. Most inspectors or home inspectors, they already provide or already have insurance, which should be the responsibility of the consumer to verify. And in summary, basically, I guess I'm in favor of some of your regulations by this bill, but not as much as what you've stated. For me, personally, I'll be more valuable in that there will be fewer of us out there, which, of course, any of the additional costs required by this bill to me, I will pass on to the consumer. Thank you for your time, and if you have any questions, I'd be glad to answer them.
Any questions from committee members? Thank you, Mr. Springer. For the record, Representative Foster has been here for about an hour.
Spirit.
He does. Next, we'll go to the Homer LIO, Ted Veal.
Yes, I'm Ted Veal, and I represent myself, and I'm an ICBO inspector here in Homer. And I just wanted to comment that this bill is written, appears to me, to be directed towards remedying problems related to
Spirit.
He does. Next, we'll go to the Homer LIO, Ted Veal.
Yes, I'm Ted Veal, and I represent myself, and I'm an ICBO inspector here in Homer. And I just wanted to comment that this bill is written, appears to me, to be directed towards remedying problems related to existing home inspections, and then the ICBO inspectors have been kind of grouped into this for what reason I do not know, but it seems like that they're trying to put a square peg in a round hole by trying to fit the ICBO inspectors under the same requirements for a existing dwelling inspector. The existing home inspection, as Mr. Rothberg stated, is basically a spot check or a one-time visual walkthrough observation of the house, whereas the ICBO inspection requires 5 to 8 different site visits during the construction process of a new home. And as I said, it doesn't, the way this is written, the new home construction process really doesn't appear to fit in this. And therefore, I am asking that the ICBO inspection process be considered to be removed from this bill. And I'd like to also state that I do support protecting the consumers, but I feel like we're going to have some real negative impact if this does go through as far as the ICBO inspectors are concerned. And I am willing to answer any questions. That's all that I have for now. Thank you.
Are there any questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chairman, I appreciate it. I know you're an expert. I don't know what ICBO is, and I clearly should. Either for the witness or for
Rothberg, you could answer.
That's an acronym, Mr. Chairman, Representative Croft. It stands for International Conference of Building Officials. They are a nationally recognized group that administers education and examinations. It qualifies these folks now. And just for the record, the bill provides that the for these type of new home inspectors, that the department will provide regulations picking up the ICBO examinations as the form of qualifying exam. So the issue brought up earlier by Mr. Brew about that is kind of a red herring because it's the same thing they're doing now.
So ICBO means the new home inspectors usually or exclusively?
The new, right. And the existing home is covered under the American Society of Home Inspectors examination, the ASHI one. Or there's a couple other ones we provide for in the statute.
The ICBO ones are the ones sort of working with the contractors when they're done, they sort of finalize.
Home inspection, which in the municipality of Anchorage, for example, is carried out by city inspectors.
Any questions for Mr. Veal? Thank you, Mr. Veal. We'll go to Anchorage, OIO. Bob Milby. Please state your name for the record and who you represent.
My name is Bob Milby, and I represent myself. I'm a general contractor with a residential endorsement here in the state of Alaska. I have a residential license in another state. I'm an ICBO certified inspector for new residential housing. I've stated before that I'm opposed to this bill. I see that there's been some changes made in it, and it looks like we're working on it some. I think it really discriminates against the private sector, taking away the protectionism that the municipalities have. Inspectors, I think if all inspectors are required to be liable for a certain amount of time, et cetera, then all inspectors should be that way. There are many different types of inspectors throughout the state. I would agree with Mr. Rookbird that maybe a registered engineer, a certified engineer, might not be qualified to do an invasive inspection on a roof or other parts of a home. I don't think that's generally what they're set up to do. I think we've all filled out financial reports in the past, a financial statement. I think perhaps the existing home inspection falls under those same kind of guidelines. At that particular moment, that's what is seen and noticed. I'm not sure if Alaska Housing, maybe they should require an invasive home inspection on all homes, on all existing homes that they refinance. Maybe there's some other areas that can be looked at, but stripping away the protection clause, I don't think that that's going to get any more homes to the closing board any quicker, saving any money for the realtors, and that's my stand.
Are there any questions? Thank you, Mr. Milby. We do have Brian Butcher online. Would you care to say anything, Brian?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, this is Brian Butcher, legislative liaison for the Alaska Housing Finance Corporation. With me, I have Bill Pellman, property compliance mortgage outreach specialist. We've worked with the sponsor on this bill for the past number of years. As Representative Rookbird mentioned earlier, the corporation supports the legislation, and we are available to answer any questions.
Are there any questions for Mr. Butcher, AHFC? Not at this time, Brian, if you could stay online and maybe come back next Thursday also.
Yes.
We do have one person in the audience, David R. Owens. Mr. Chairman, for the opportunity to be able to speak here today. I had previously faxed in some correspondence earlier today, and hopefully everybody has a copy of that. If not, I do have some additional copies I could go and get.
We can get it in the packet.
My name is David R. Owens. I reside in Palmer, Alaska. I own and operate Owens Inspection Services. Excuse me. I currently sit on the board of directors for the Matanuska Susitna Home Builders Association and the American Society of Home Inspectors. My testimony today is solely of my own testimony and not any other. For the record, I would like to have written in the following. Attaches a copy of my testimony dated May 2002 that was not heard in the Senate in 2002, and I'm asking that you please read that document as time allows. The proposed HB 9 bill has not substantially changed from last year's version. The drafter of this bill has failed to insert any of our concerns with regards to new construction that have been proposed to him over the past 5 years. Please take the time and review the previous testimonies, numerous previous testimonies. This bill is not just a simple document to ensure an inspector is qualified and licensed. It is a complicated and fragmented 23-page piece of legislation that violates the Constitution of the State of Alaska. Furthermore, it creates a discrimination issue. If this bill is passed in its current form, new home inspectors as a group will file a lawsuit based on constitutionality and discrimination issues this bill will pose. I've never gotten real good answers to any of the following questions. Why is Alaska housing law being changed in an inspector's licensing bill? I suggest you take any reference to Alaska housing out of the bill. Why is it that all inspectors doing business in the state of Alaska are not being regulated and licensed under this bill? Why do we need 23 pages? I suggest we make it a simple requirement to get a license and provide proof of your qualifications to be an inspector in the area that you're inspecting. Personally, I'd like to know why the Anchorage Real Estate Association is so intent on only regulating the residential side of this business. Owen Inspection Services' current inspection team consists of 3 new and existing home inspectors, 1 energy rater, 2 commercial inspectors, including myself. I'm proud to say 50% of my residential inspectors are veterans of foreign wars. They have looked out for me, and I'm here looking out for them. 50% of my current team will require regulation, and the others will require none, will not require any. I'd like to talk about the liability that this bill will pose. The repeal of Article 40 on page 21, line 29, which now is changed in this current version of the bill. I believe it's over on page 22. But it is Article 40 that they're trying to repeal in the Alaska housing law will substantially increase the new home inspection liability. This article that we currently have in place under Alaska Statute 18.56.300C allows a reasonable level of protection for the purposes of Alaska housing new home inspections. New home inspectors only want the same level of protection under the law as state and municipal inspectors have throughout the state of Alaska. And this is as well as throughout the United States. If you would see the attached references from the International Building Code, International Residential Code, Uniform Plumbing Code, and this should read National Electrical Code, which are in your packet as exhibits A, B, C, and D. The type of language mentioned in these liability clauses is the same type of language that should be included in this bill for inspectors' protection. I would like to touch on the cost. If this bill is passed as is, our firm will double or possibly triple our fees in the next 2 or 3 years. This will be due in part from added insurance costs, administrative costs, and a large part will be due to an additional reinspection to prevent the possibility of frivolous lawsuits. These costs will be transmitted to the client or contractor, but will eventually cost the consumer in the long run. I believe the consumer wants a good quality new home inspection at a reasonable price, and I believe it is one of his rights to expect this also. Currently, new home inspections range from $750 to $1,500, depending on the level of service requested. The consumer who builds his own home would take the brunt of this increase due to cost, the brunt of this increase in cost due to their lack of construction experience. There would be a lot of additional re-inspections with an owner builder. Time delays. Time is money, as we all know. As you tighten the regulations on new home inspectors, this will transfer to the field. Due to the possibility of frivolous lawsuits stemming from this legislation, any small detail on an inspection report will have to be completed and re-inspected prior to giving the contractor to go ahead to the next phase of construction. This overzealous type of inspection activity will cause time delays for the contractor, real estate agent, and eventually the home buyer. Again, the consumer will be the party that is impacted the most. And the code. I would like to talk about the code. It is unfortunate that we are here in the year 2003 and the state of Alaska has not adopted a minimum code standard for new construction. It is further unfortunate that it has been left up to the lenders to write regulations to protect their investments in these properties. For example, FHA, VA, and Alaska Housing have their own regulations for inspection and construction of new homes. Again, there is no code for new construction in the state of Alaska. How can you tell a home inspector or a general contractor he did not do his job properly if the state does not have a minimum standard to compare his work to? In summary, I do support the concept of fair and equal regulation of the inspection industry. In my opinion, the concept of regulating new home inspectors has occurred too soon in the legal process of protecting the consumer. I do not support this bill as written. I'm open for any questions at this time.
Any questions? Thank you. For the record, Representative Moses has been here. I'm sorry I didn't get to you. Does anyone else in the audience or teleconference that wish to testify at this time? If not, we'll close the public testimony. What we'll do on Thursday, if there's someone that we would like to have testify, it'll be by invitation only, and get back to me if you would care to. At this time, I'll turn the meeting back over to co-chair.
Thank you, sir. Okay, we'll take a short at ease, and then we'll have the Department of Natural Resources Commissioner, Mr. Irwin, come forward to give us an overview on Department of Natural Resources.